You are listening to the Doug Hagman Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagman.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagman. It's the Doug Hagman Investigative Hour for today. It is Monday, January 15th, 2018. Thanks for joining me this morning for an in-depth look at tomorrow's headlines today. I'll be delving deep into a number of important issues facing all of us, wherever you stand, wherever you sit in the free world. I received some information this past weekend, over the weekend, from a very well-connected source. And I had numerous conversations with that source, numerous conversations with many of the listeners of this show. By the way, this the Doug Hagman Radio Show is absolutely just exploding across the airwaves. I want to thank Global Star Satellite Radio Network and also Blog Talk Radio, BTR. That, of course, you can get the archives both places. Blog Talk Radio, the fine folks there. I want to thank them for carrying this program. But this is just this program is exploding, getting the statistics. And I could tell you, over the last, over the last 7 days, I doubled the numbers for the previous month. All right, so in the last 7 days, I doubled the numbers in the previous month, and that's just amazing. And the reason I bring this up is because this is important information I'm providing to you, I believe anyway. But something else I want to make sure that I get into, and that's the bigger picture of what is taking place today, what is breaking today, and provide the context and understanding. I received an email, and I showed it to my wife over the weekend, and I said, I said, look at this email. I didn't tell her anything about it. I said, look at this email, and tell me, and it's from a listener, and tell me what you think. And the bottom line is this: the email was, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I'm summarizing it. How did everything start, and why? Why, for example, do we find ourselves in this position? And how did the spying on Donald Trump allegedly start, and why? And I got to be thinking about that, and I said, wow, what a great question. And I just want to thank RRF, if you're out there, thank you so much if you're listening, because I thought that was a fantastic question. And this individual says, a lot of us don't really understand, me meaning him included, really how and why everything just started. Can you explain? And I started going over the previous shows that I did, the topics and such, and I'm thinking, I really never addressed the bigger picture, the why and how. And both are extremely important, because what we are facing right now is the biggest, the most intense, the biggest story on the planet today is the story about the weaponization of the intelligence, the United States intelligence apparatus, against private citizens and against political opposition. But it didn't start out of whole cloth. And the how and why are interconnected. And this goes right to the top. This goes, you cannot get any higher in terms of government than where this leads. But if you have the how and the why, you'll find the who. Or if you have the who and the how, you'll find the why. And these are puzzle pieces, so to speak. But I'm going to give you the reasons that we're here today. And I think when you hear this, it'll, like a light bulb, it'll go on and say, okay, now I get it. Now I understand how Uranium-1 factors into all of this, for example, and why many people say, oh, well, that's a debunked scandal, and it passed the 9-member CFIUS panel, so it can't be bad, and you can't have all of the players, the members of this CFIUS panel in on the sale of uranium and such. And there must have been some reason that would cause, for example, the intelligence industries to spy on Donald Trump, and then the fusion and GPS and such. Okay, I'm going to explain everything to you. And I think that this is going to be perhaps one of the most enlightening broadcasts that you'll listen to. I do want feedback. Please send me feedback at studio@hagmanandhagman.com. That's studio@hagmanandhagman.com. Let me know if I hit the mark on this broadcast. I need to know. Because future programs will be contingent upon whether this I lay this out properly. And if I don't, then let me know I haven't. And if I do, great. I mean, fine. You don't have to say that, boy. Just give me some feedback. Because, again, RF is somewhat responsible for what I'm talking about right now, the how and the why and the who. How it all started and why. And to understand that, you've got to go back a number of years. But before I go and tell you about this, think of this. You had ultimately two people, that's Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, in the race for the presidency after the primaries. Hillary Clinton obviously was an extension of the Obama regime. Donald Trump was an outsider. Why is that important? Well, the outsider, of course, doesn't really know, nor would the outsider have the ability to know about the nefarious activities, we'll say, of Obama and Hillary Clinton. Obama during his tenure as president and Hillary Clinton during her tenure as Secretary of State. And also Hillary Clinton's actions and Bill Clinton's actions in terms of the Clinton Foundation and how Obama's related to all of that. And all of these things are tied together. Okay, I want you to consider a program we did, and this will help. I think this will help contextualize that two-person race. Again, Hillary Clinton, full insider. Donald Trump, full outsider. I was thinking about a program we did, and I was talking to my wife about this. And as a matter of fact, I heard another radio broadcaster mention this, but not to the depth or not in the context that I will mention this. We did a program on the flagship Hagman Report show a number of months back. And as a matter of fact, we've done programs similar to that and kept in touch through a third party with Frank Serpico. You know Serpico, right? Frank Serpico, former NYPD detective who was approached. The long and short of it is this. Frank Serpico was a clean police officer, clean cop. And he was approached by, he was put into a precinct where essentially the majority of the cops there, or just about everybody there, was on the take. They were all dirty. Well, Frank Serpico declined to be dirty. No, I'm not gonna get involved in your kickbacks, your schemes, your money, taking bribes and taking money from drug dealers and such. I'm not going to be involved in that. What happened when Serpico said, no, I'm not going to do this? They attempted to take him out, literally take him out. I mean, they set him up. They set him up. The people, the police officers in the NYPD set him up. And you can listen to the interview that we did or even read the book about Frank Serpico. But he was a threat to the business as usual within the NYPD, and they set him up to take him out. Because he was not one of the insiders. He was not one of the bought and paid for police officers. in that particular precinct. So they were forced. They set them up. They had to get rid of them. Now apply that to Donald Trump. And now apply, for example, as the attempts to bribe Frank Serpico prior to him getting set up, the inside officials in the political opposition attempted to dirty Donald Trump and his campaign. Attempted to marginalize Donald Trump, to make it appear that he was cooperating with a foreign power, colluding with a foreign power. By the way, collusion is not in the crimes code. I'm just saying. But that's the general context. If you can kind of keep that in the back of your mind, that was what they were trying to do. They were dirty. Hillary Clinton was dirty. Obama was dirty. All the people around them in that Washington swamp, they were all dirty. They were all compromised. They were all, well, you know, the stories. Donald Trump, the outsider, wasn't. Why? He wasn't part of the swamp. He was a complete outsider. He was the Frank Serpico, so to speak. And especially when they could not, they meaning the political opposition, could not get him. They couldn't, they attempted to set him up, but Donald Trump didn't fall for the bait. Not now, nor any members of his campaign. And of course, there was the Papadopoulos situation, but okay, with respect to, you know, the attempt to insert Papadopoulos or Papadopoulos working at the periphery of his campaign and such, but you get the idea. And this also goes, I'm going to make sure I get this out as well. The biggest scandal in history is still going on. The biggest crime in history at the highest levels of government and intelligence is still going on. And the reason I say that, last week, what did we see? We saw Dianne Feinstein unilaterally, without consulting anyone in the on the committee, release 312 pages of the transcript of Glenn Simpson. Glenn Simpson, of course, is the co-founder of Fusion GPS, who figures, this is a political opposition research group, who figures prominently in all of this. What was the reasoning for that release by Dianne Feinstein? What was her reason for releasing that? I'll tell you right now, the reason for that, and I said this last week, right after it happened, the reason for this release was the same reason, well, the reason that it should not have been released is the same reason that you keep separate suspects in the crime. You interview them separately, because you check one story against the other. It's the same reason that witnesses are kept out of the courtroom so the witness yet to testify can't listen to the previous testimony and tailor their testimony so it coincides with the previous witness. In other words, it was released so everyone would be on the same page. It was a deliberate release for that specific purpose. Now, also, you've got a couple of things I'll be getting into as well. You've got Michael Horowitz, the Inspector General of the Department of Justice, last week, beginning the release of a year's worth of investigative documents, totaling 1.2 million documents, to Congress. And I'm going to be getting into that, hopefully, if I have time. But addressing the who, the how, but the why. And again, in that context, think Frank Serpico. The why. Part of the why has to do with 8 years of Obama machinations. For 8 years, now some of this gets into foreign policy, some domestic policy, but let's just take the foreign policy aspect. Consider this. For 8 years, Obama was absolutely 100% committed to changing the power, the balance of power in the Middle East. Okay? But taking the power out of or away from the Saudis and getting it into more of an Iran or an Iranian-centric balance of power, pro-Shia, Iranian balance of power. We saw this through the Iranian deal. You think, well, wait a minute, the Iranian deal. That was a bad deal for America. Donald Trump said a bad deal for America. What was that all about? Well, this was Obama's power shift. And remember Hillary Clinton and Obama during the entirety of the Arab Spring. That was part of Obama's desire to shift the balance of power in the Middle East, all throughout the Middle East. But it was towards Iran, to give Iran the power. Now, what is Iran? The nation state of Iran is, you could say, is a proxy of which country? Of Russia, right? Okay. In order to rebalance the power, I mean, they needed the Iranian deal, the Iran deal, to rebalance the power structure in the Middle East. But in order to do that, because Iran as a nation state is a proxy or a close ally of Russia, they needed Russians on board. Now, you remember the Russian reset. Oh, what a debacle that was with Hillary Clinton, the red button Russian reset. Remember that? Well, they needed the Russians on board for the Iran deal. And this Iranian deal was closed, obviously, or done before Obama obviously left office. And all that cash that was sent over to Iran. Well, during this time, and prior to this time, you had Uranium One. You had the mining and export of American uranium assets leaving the country. You most assuredly could not stop that. Russia was committed to cornering the uranium market. And Obama knew this. And of course, he was, during this time, at the later stages of this Uranium One deal, was attempting to do what? Attempting to broker this deal, finalize this deal with Iran. And Uranium One was taking place. Well, most assuredly, Obama could not possibly expose or stop the Uranium One deal that was going on, despite the fact that this was the exportation of our natural resource, the uranium, the yellow cake, and such. Despite the fact that one-fifth of our energy in the United States is provided by nuclear fuel, yet the United States only produces to about 20% of our nuclear fuel. Now consider that. So why in the world, if that's the case, why? How much sense does it make for us to be exporting uranium, yellow cake? It doesn't make any sense at all, so why do it? Well, to appease Russia, because they wanted the corner on the uranium market. So rather than upset the apple cart, because Obama wanted to tender this Iranian deal, he basically looked the other way, and instructed others to look the other way on uranium, on uranium one. Because had that uranium deal been stopped, there would be no way that the Iran deal would have made it past the discussion phase, because they needed Russia on board for the Iranian deal. And remember, Russia, during the Obama years, and as stated by Hillary, they were friends. Remember when Obama, during the presidential debates, and I can't remember who he said it to, you know, hey, Russia called, they want their Cold War mentality back, or Cold War dealings back, policy back. It wasn't until after Donald Trump became president that Russia became an enemy, a stated enemy, or a bad actor in terms of Hillary Clinton and Barack Hussein Obama. Now think about this. I know this is a lot of information, but this email I got, it really got me thinking. So I had and there are some others who are addressing this, but I think that this is perhaps one of the most important aspects to understand how we got here and why. Had Hillary Clinton won in the presidential elections, it would have been business as usual. None of this would have ever come out. Uranium One wouldn't have come out. And how bad the Iranian deal is, it would never have come out, at least not anytime soon. But because Donald Trump was elected, it is coming out. So think about the enormity of what I'm saying. And again, it wouldn't have been a problem had Hillary Clinton won the election. This is what, in part, this is what Strzok was referring to about this insurance policy. Well, we need to get dirt on Trump, Donald Trump, so we can throw it out to the public to make sure he does not win. We can attempt to publicly marginalize President, you know, or Donald Trump as a private citizen to make sure he doesn't win. They used political opposition in that vein. Now, this is where it gets really, really scary and complicated, and this is where you really have to kind of really understand the timeline, and you've got to understand the people and the methods, the sources and methods in this, to really understand the depth and scope of what happened. And to some extent, what happened and happened right through, you know, right through last year. This is huge. And there are a lot of people who are going to have a bad week this week because of the OIG's release. I can tell you that right now. There are a lot of people going to have a bad week, and there's a lot of information yet to come. But that's the bigger picture. And think back to August of 2014. What happened back then? Remember Donald Trump or Obama and Hillary again? Now this is post Hillary Clinton. This is after she left the position of Secretary of State. But what happened to really almost jeopardize everything in terms of Obama and saying, well, you know, Russia's not that bad. Russia's really not the enemy. What did they do back in August of 2014? They invaded Ukraine, Crimea. Okay, so that's important to understand, because now that was a very public slap in the face, aggressive move that painted Russia, to anyone paying attention, is really not a good country. And certainly it made it more difficult for Obama to back Russia, or to broker the deal with Iran, because he would have to deal. He has to deal with Russia as well. So, and that later plays into the sanctions, the Russian sanctions, and what have you. But if you understand the timeline, you can see this a little bit clearer. All right. So, the big power shift in the Middle East. Obama is committed to propping up Iran, shifting the power to Iran as opposed to Saudi Arabia or the Shias. And of course, that's the big deal. And then the Iranian deal is part and parcel to that. But of course, needing Russia, needing their support as well, because Iran is a proxy state of Russia. So they needed Russians on board. And of course, that prompted the Russian reset. But that was jeopardized, of course, by the Ukrainian invasion of Ukraine. However, by this time, don't forget, Obama looked the other way for the sale of uranium, the Uranium One that was going on really since 2009 forward. That's when all of this happened, the Uranium One deal. And it happened as well during Hillary Clinton, her tenure as Secretary of State. And I should point out, I mentioned the Inspector General. Across all federal agencies, and this is important to remember, because you have Horowitz coming out last week providing a year's worth of investigative documents, and I'll bring this up again here momentarily, to Congress. Two total 1.2 million documents. But it's important to understand that there are, across the federal government, 73 offices of the inspector, 73 inspectors general in federal oversight positions of federal departments. The only vacancy of an inspector general in the history of our federal government, in the history of the Obama regime, was an inspector general over the Department of State. And more specifically, the State Department lacked an inspector general during the exact time when Hillary Clinton was operating as Secretary of State. Oh, they had an acting IG, Inspector General, but nothing close to what we have now. Coincidence? No. Just keep that in the back of your mind as well. Very important part of the equation. Also, with respect to Iran, what was going on that just has recently come out during Obama's tenure and under the purview of Mueller, Comey, the Obama Justice Department, the Obama intelligence agencies? What have we recently learned? We were told about Project Cassandra. Hezbollah running guns. Hezbollah being Iranian terrorist, running guns, money, and such. And Project Cassandra was exposed that the DEA agents, DEA drugs, guns, money. And a couple of intelligence agencies caught Hezbollah operatives, and the CIA as well, caught Hezbollah operatives under Project Cassandra. And we just recently learned that Obama had to order a stand down of Project Cassandra in order to get the Iranian deal done. Now think about that again. And who was a big part of this Project Cassandra? Bruce Orr in the oversight. And he was read in and took part, was complicit in the stand down of the exposing Hezbollah. Again, Iranian terrorist. When you hear Hezbollah, think Iranian terrorist, because they're a full proxy arm of Iran. And, of course, putting the clamp down on Hezbollah would be equivalent to putting the clamp down on Iran. And, again, in the balance was this historic Iranian deal, so they couldn't very well slap down on Hezbollah via Project Cassandra, Operation Cassandra, so they had to stand down. Obama ordered the intelligence agencies, and the intelligence agencies stood down on that particular law enforcement or intelligence operation. Now, you see how all of these dots are connecting, because some of it's, this is a geopolitical nightmare that Obama, at the end of the day, Obama, all that the buck stops there. It's at the highest levels of our government. And if people understood this, and hopefully I'm explaining this well, and I'm trying to do this as methodically as I can, if people understood exactly what was going on, there would be an outcry. But the media is not covering the bigger story here. The media is refusing to connect the dots. In fact, look at what the media is focusing on with respect to the Glenn Simpson testimony, 312-page document of testimony. What are they focusing on? They're focusing on not that, just the shiny objects, the little trinkets of meaningless testimony built into that document. But again, Feinstein had to toss that out there so everybody could be on the same page. Don't forget, precedent was set with Mike Flynn under USC Section 1001 when Mike Flynn allegedly, or not allegedly, lied to the FBI. So if you would lie to the FBI now, the precedent has been set with Mike Flynn where that you're going to jail. It's not okay to lie to the FBI now. It was okay for Hillary Clinton, but not now, because the precedent has been sent through Mike Flynn. So now, Feinstein, understanding what a cluster, you know what, all of this is, knowing the backstory, knowing what I just told you, and knowing there are other people vulnerable to going down, being taken down, and this being one of the potential avenues, and everyone having to get their story straight, she released this Fusion GPS testimony. Out of all things that could be released, she released that right away. And notice how quickly. I mean, the ink wasn't even dry on the transcripts when she released it. And again, why? To get their story straight. And this is so important for everyone to understand. So very simply, the why. The why was in the event Donald Trump won the election, we needed to make him appear dirty. If we needed to dirty him up, we need to set him up. This was a setup operation from the beginning, and there are a couple of instances where I could exactly provide you documentation to prove that, or at least prove it circumstantially. Now, so this was all a setup. Because, well, let's go back to the bigger question of why, or that was the bigger question of why. Why was this done? Because they wanted to dirty Donald Trump, so he would be not a Frank Serpico, and he certainly would go along with whatever, because he would be compromised. See. Think Frank Serpico. But, and because of, and of course, to cover what? To cover all of the 8 years of everything that you and I already know what was going on. And that this is, consider the rebalancing of power, as I said, in the Middle East, and the Arab Spring, and the taking over Libya, and Benghazi, all of that fits in. Now, things, I believe, can start to make sense. Why everyone was pushing back. And why all these committees were, we had 4 investigative committees into Benghazi. Nothing. It was just a big nothing. was it really? No. Because you didn't have a Frank Serpico in there. The Frank Serpicos were not at the level that could make a difference in the end game. So, in the larger sense, shall we say. You had good guys in there, good people in their white hats, but not to the extent, because the Obama globalists, shall we say, created choke points for these information to make sure that the investigations never really got off the ground. If you notice, with all the bluster and all the thunder and lightning of all these investigations of Benghazi and such and the emails, nothing ever got off the ground. Why? Because Obama created choke points. When I say Obama, I'm talking about either him or those people close to him created the choke points to make sure the information was never acted upon. And you can go back to Mueller with respect to Uranium One, and you can go to Comey, you can go to Lynch. It was lawlessness. That's so. Once Donald Trump was elected, everything changed. The globalists, the Clintons, the Obama people, I mean, there was sweat coming out of every pore and still is. Like I said, it's a lot of these globalists, a lot of these Obama sycophants and Hillary supporters are going to be having a bad week starting this week, especially with the release of the documentation by the Inspector General of the Department of Justice, providing the information to Nunes and his committee, because more will be coming out as these dots connect. More will be coming out. So how do you dirty Donald Trump, or how do you get dirt on Donald Trump? Well, through opposition research. For example, Fusion GPS, that's an opposition research firm. Glenn Simpson, co-founder, Peter Fritsch as well. And these are ex-journalists from the Wall Street Journal who founded this firm to collect dirt. Think of an unscrupulous private investigator, in my view, to collect information about someone. Dirt. Get the dirt. Go dumpster diving. Go through the garbage. Do whatever you got to do. And if you don't find anything, what happens? Well, what happens? What do some unscrupulous, and people might be able to relate to this if they watch a lot of television. What might an unscrupulous private investigator do to expedite, we'll say, or to find dirt on a possible cheating husband? Maybe that husband stops at a bar after work every day for a beer. And there's surveillance, and maybe the husband's good. Maybe there's nothing could be found. Well, you want to please your client, right? So what better way to take a female operative and go over to the bar and hit on the husband, perhaps when he's most vulnerable? You're setting up the husband, right? Now think of it, again, television PI terms, okay? Think of it that way. Can't find dirt, so we'll send a nice-looking girl, you know, woman over to the husband and basically throw herself onto the husband. And if he doesn't bite, we'll try another tactic, but you get the idea. So this was a setup from the beginning. They were looking for dirt on Donald Trump. They were looking for a Russian connection. Couldn't find any. So they had to, I mean, they were in a panic. So they had to utilize, they had to go a step further. When I say they, I'm talking about the Hillary Clinton / DNC. But I'm also talking about a co-conspirator in this, and that would be Obama. Because Obama had oversight and information, oversight of the intelligence apparatus, and information via his presidential daily briefings. I mentioned this last week or in my previous programs. So he knew exactly what was going on with the intelligence agencies that were weaponized against Donald Trump, to spy against Donald Trump. And this is the how. So Donald Trump was set up. In fact, if you remember the meeting at Trump Tower, when was that? That was, I believe it was June 9th of 2016. Natalia Veselnitskaya on June 9th, 2016, who called up Donald Trump Jr. and said, "Hey, I've got some dirt on Hillary Clinton." And remember, she was granted a visa by Obama, or by the Obama people. Turned out she already had an extended visa, but she had contacted Donald Trump, the Trump campaign, and contacted Donald Trump, set up a meeting. The meeting took place on June 9th of 2016, ostensibly to provide information to Donald Trump Jr., dirt on Hillary Clinton, when in fact there was no, she did not provide any dirt to Donald Trump. And Donald Trump left early, left the meeting early, saying basically it was a waste of time, and she went off into the Magnitsky Act and such, and it just didn't, it was out of place. It was just uncharacter, and just tremendously out of place. It stuck out like a sore thumb. And then information came out that this Veselnitskaya met with Glenn Simpson both before and after that meeting. But we saw in the transcripts that Simpson denied knowing that Veselnitskaya met with Donald Trump Jr. A little hard to believe, in strange credulity, right? So we have to get everyone on the same page, going back to the release of the dossier. So, hey, make sure you look at page 82. Okay, so everyone's on the same page. So, now, because things aren't working out very well, you know, the surveillance of the husband by the wife, the unscrupulous PI, well, nothing's, I can't find anything. Well, let's throw a blonde, busty blonde when he's sitting at the bar, you know, on his way home from work every night. Let's see if that'll work. That's the analogy here, of course. But the question no one asked so far is, in the case of that that husband, we'll say, for the analogy, what would give the wife why is the wife suspicious? What would give her a reason to be suspicious of her husband? So, in other words, what would cause the intelligence agencies in the United States to be believing that a crime, and I'm talking about a crime of involving national security, was taking place by Donald Trump? Question mark. Why? What was it? Was it something that the intelligence agencies happened to find? Was it something that someone said? Was it some information given to the FBI? Did someone walk in the door of the FBI and say, "You know what? You got a presidential candidate that's really a Manchurian candidate for Vladimir Putin, and here's the proof. And so you should start an investigation." And, you know, the FBI says, "Oh, we got to start an investigation." And if that's the case, what was the underlying proof? And this is where we're at today. Okay, this is the how. The why was, obviously, the real why here was to marginalize President Donald Trump in the event that he got elected. And certainly, hopefully, he didn't get elected, because if it was all Hillary, it would be business as usual. But, of course, if Donald Trump got elected, then, of course, we had to make sure he was marginalized and impotent as a leader, because, man, everybody would be exposed. Everybody would be, their heads would be on the chopping block. It's just a bad deal. And we see exactly that taking place right now. So the what happened, and this is based on extensive research and contact with conversation with my contact as well, what happened was, instead of the blonde at the bar in that analogy, the intelligence agencies were weaponized to get information about Donald Trump. In other words, to to get the, get his records, get, to get the information that, to get the phone conversations, to get to, that was a deep dive into Donald Trump, a fishing expedition, and they came out empty-handed. And this was a process. This wasn't a one-day thing. This wasn't a one-time event. This was a process, kind of like surveillance on the very good husband. Okay, can't find anything. So now, this was a deep dive. When they found nothing, when they came up empty, they had to essentially create something to marginalize Donald Trump. So how do you do that and make it look legitimate? Because where did the investigation start? What was the impetus? What was that spark that caused the investigation? There was none. Except, I mean, there was no legitimate spark. There was no legitimate piece of evidence. There was no legitimate anything that would demand or compel the intelligence agencies in the United States to spy on Donald Trump. Yet they did. And I want to point something out. Okay. There was, I'll tell you what, this is, there's so much information here. I'm going to point this one thing out. If you go back to 2016, the summer of 2016, again, this is after, or this is before, concurrent with, before, during, and after the nomination, Donald Trump's nomination, the party's nomination of Donald Trump, okay, prior to the election. And you take a look at what was going on. Time was running out. Now you've got this opposition research group, Fusion GPS, who was ultimately, and I want to make sure I've got this correct and I explain this correctly. They were ultimately hired, obviously, by Hillary Rodham Clinton and the DNC. One and the same at that point because of the money. Remember when the DNC went broke? Donald Brazil talked about this. They were getting fed information, intelligence from Russian assets via Christopher Steele, as well as, well, as well as, and I will say this, high-ranking members of the intelligence, the United States intelligence agencies. Okay. And they were providing, Fusion GPS was providing this information to the DNC, who then provided, in the Clinton camp, but primarily the DNC, and the FBI. In some cases, the information went from the Russian intelligence agencies, or Russian intelligence operatives, I should say, to Fusion GPS, from Fusion GPS to the DNC, and then from there to the FBI, or from Russian intelligence operatives, or out of state or other nation intelligence ops to Fusion GPS, to the DNC, to the FBI, or from Fusion GPS to the FBI, and or from the FBI to Fusion GPS. Think about that. The reason I say I give this kind of this mutual aid in this coexistence between this melding between Fusion GPS, the opposition research group, and the FBI and the intelligence agencies is this. There was a report done, and this is a 99-page report done on the FISA oversight, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act oversight of that process. And in that 99-page report, it states that the information that was gleaned from the FISA actions was shared not just with the intelligence inside the intelligence agencies, but was also shared with who or what. The what is the governmental, at least one, if not more, governmental contractors. That should send a chill down your spine. So you've got the FISA, the information through FISA 702 wiretaps, shall we say, or the cultivating of this information being shared not just within the intelligence community, but with firms, contractors, working on behalf or working with the intelligence community. And I would say that, and this was pointed out in this report, this 99-page report that was about the oversight of the FISA process, but this was also referenced by, in fact, it was on Sean Hannity. It was publicly referenced. This is going back now several months. And as you know, I talk about people like Sarah Carter, John Solomon, the people on the front lines getting this information. And it's interesting when the information, when their information and the research I've done, as well as the information from the one contact I have, kind of, well, not just kind of, but actually comes together. So now you've got this weaponization of intelligence. Don't forget that Obama changed the FISA process, or the intelligence gathering process and the unmasking process, before he walked out the door in the final period of his occupancy of the Oval Office, to make it easier to share information. And you will recall as well, Susan Rice having the ability to unmask. She denied it at first and has ultimately confirmed it. And even Samantha Power, being part of the United Nations, or the ambassador of the United Nations, making unmasking requests. What's that all about? But the bottom line here is this merging of the intelligence information gleaned from these FISA, the FISA surveillance that was specifically done on Donald Trump and the people on this Donald Trump campaign. And I will remind you again, it was after the election of Donald Trump, when NSA head Admiral Mike Rogers paid him a visit. I talked about this before, on November 17th, 2017, and said, hey, he had a meeting at Trump Tower. And, well, I don't know exactly what was said, but certainly we could deduce what was said, because the very next day, Donald Trump moved his entire transition team and all of the people close to him and all the communications out of Trump Tower into the resort, golf resort club in New Jersey. So Rogers had to say something very compelling, in my view, to have him move. So you've got this process right now. When you take the timeline, the how, the methods, Fusion GPS, if you read the testimony that was released, well, Fusion GPS said, you know, I'm a little bit afraid that Donald Trump is getting information that could possibly, he could be blackmailed ultimately by a foreign entity, most likely the Russians. So I've got to take this information to the FBI to create the illusion of collusion. And then you've got FBI and Fusion GPS working together. And then, well, that's the how, really. And from that, the Steele dossier was created. But you have specific people at the highest levels of the intelligence community involved in intelligence collecting that happened to share information with Fusion GPS and other opposition research, and, well, the political opposition. Let me give you one example of how information that was collected, and for those who doubt what I'm saying, consider this one tweet. That's right, it was a tweet. Consider this one tweet by Hillary Clinton. And I want to ask you this ahead of the, when I'm going to read the tweet, I'm going to read the date. This is by Hillary Clinton. I'm going to ask one question after I read it, okay? But consider this tweet. And then I'll ask a very specific question to prove my point. 1 week before the election, October 31st, 2016, at 7:36 p.m., Hillary Clinton sends the following tweet. Computer scientists have apparently uncovered a covert server linking the Trump Organization to a Russian-based bank. Period. Now, here's the question. If the intelligence surveillance, the intelligence, the fruit of intelligence, the investigative intelligence, was kept within the intelligence services, how in the world did Hillary Clinton know that computer scientists have apparently uncovered a covert server linking the Trump Organization to a Russian-based bank? How did she know to tweet that out on October 31st, 2016 at 7:36 p.m.? She just overplayed her hand. She exposed herself. She, in order to send that tweet, she had to have knowledge that the intelligence agencies, that the FISA warrant covered what? Trump Tower. Wiretapping, as Donald Trump would say. You could not send a tweet before this is even reported in the mainstream media. That information was not reported. Yet she knew. Somehow, some way, she knew what the FISA, the product of the FISA warrant contained, in part. Just a little hint. Now, it was overplayed, overdone, and turned out to ultimately to be a non-starter with respect to the Alpha Bank and the Trump Tower. It was a non-issue. But the fact that she sent that tweet on October 31st, 2016 should have everyone asking, what in the world was the intelligence agencies, our intelligence agencies, overseen by Clapper and Brennan and the NSA and the FBI? How did she get this information? She's a political opponent. And you knew, you have to know that Obama had to know about exactly every step of the intelligence that was being developed through these FISA warrants or through this surveillance of Donald Trump. You had to know that President, or the putative President Obama, was being briefed through the presidential daily briefing. So he knew and was okay with it, or was facilitating it, or allowing it to happen, or pushing for it to happen. He knew. At the very least, he knew. But the opposing political party of Donald Trump tweeting that out October 31st, 2016. That's Exhibit A. That is... Think about the magnitude of what I just said. You've got one political party spying on the other political party. The political party in power using the full resources of our massive intelligence apparatus spying on the political opposition. Verified by this obscure errant tweet by Hillary Clinton, 9 days before the election. You cannot make this up. Let me know how well I explained this. And if I did well, please share this on social media, this episode on social media. Follow my Twitter at HagmanPI. Of course, tune into The Hagman Report, our flagship show. Follow The Hagman Report at Hagman Report. Also, HagmanReport.com. Let me know how I did. And I'm going to be going over some more, even more detailed information tomorrow to really drive this home. I want to thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for allowing me to give me the ability and us the ability to research this, to investigate this, to develop our context, and to give you quality programs. I believe they're quality programs. Let me know at studio@HagmanandHagman.com.
The Doug Hagman Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagman Report.
Tune in to the Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.